Good morning. It is about 38 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. This is Hannah Flohr. You're listening to KFSK Petersburg, and it is time for The Common Good. That is a radio show here on KFSK where we talk to folks involved with volunteer programs, nonprofits, and acts of service around the community. And today I'm joined in the studio by Deborah O'Gara. Good morning, Deborah. I'm going to turn your mic on. There we go.
Good morning.
Good morning. Lisa Shamick.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Kari Peterson is back a second week in a row. Morning, Kari.
Good morning.
And I have you guys in here because I want to talk about the classes that are being held at the Petersburg Public Library. Kari, you are the program director at the Public Library.
Yeah, the program coordinator.
Excuse me. I'm going to make a note to change that. And that means that you are in charge of, among other things, getting all of these classes organized and finding people to teach them and signing folks up, et cetera.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Lisa and Deborah, you are both teachers of these classes, correct?
Yes.
That's right.
And can you, maybe starting with you, Deborah, can you tell me about some of the classes you have taught and are planning on teaching?
Sure. So the one that I've already taught just before or just after Christmas and I mean just after Thanksgiving and before Christmas was the cedar bark woven Christmas tree ornaments. And it was a lot of fun. We had 10 people that signed up, 9 or 10, and we wove with cedar bark strips and on a little 2.5-3 inch styrofoam ball.
Oh, you wove it around a ball.
Yeah.
And so the people who took that class, did they have to have some sort of experience doing anything like that, or was it just anybody interested?
It was anybody that was interested. We limited it to 10 people, just because that's really in person, that's all I can handle, especially if somebody is coming to the class and has never woven before.
Right.
But the goal is to not just have a tree ornament at the end of the class, but to also learn weaving and which they did.
The basics of what it means to weave a thing.
Right. And learn just the simple twining, two-strand twining and plaiting, which are the two basic weaving techniques.
Okay.
It's that, not all of them, but it's the two basic ones. If you know how to do that, you can weave anything.
And when you say twining and plaiting, that's just how the two different pieces of bark or whatever it is you're weaving with go together to create a thing that is not just...
Correct.
Stringy bits?
Right.
Okay.
And it's the twining around what we call warps or for beginning students, I just call them spokes because they're standing straight up and you weave around, you twine around them.
Like spokes on a bicycle.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay. And then what are you planning on teaching?
So the next class dates have not been set yet, but I'm going to do a small raven's tail sampler, which could be a small bag or necklace or just a wall hanging.
And what is raven's tail?
Raven's tail is done with, traditionally it's mountain goat wool, and that's hand spun, and then into warp or spokes, because it's same techniques,
right,
twining around warp that we use for basket making or for the tree ornaments, and but today we use commercial wool, usually merino wool, because mountain goats are hard to come by these days. And so the raven's tail traditionally is a Tlingit traditional weaving technique that was used to make ceremonial robes and also shawls and aprons that were used in ancient ceremonial. It's an art that actually almost died out and was just revived in the last 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so you've learned it and now you're going to teach a class on the basics.
Correct.
Okay, wonderful. So folks can watch out for that. Kari, do you have a sense of when that information might be up?
I don't know. Well, it depends on Deborah's schedule. It'll be this spring.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. All right. And Lisa, you have a class that's happening today, correct?
I do. When you're thinking about planning and reflecting on what has been happening in your art making daily life or monthly life, sometimes you wish you would have done things differently. And I've found in the last few years, it's really helped me to do kind of an annual audit, if you will, of like, what have I been doing in different areas that feed into your art? And it's not all about just making art, but like, how are you supporting yourself and kind of feeding ideas back into your creative well that can then come back out? So we're going to be doing some exercises and just working through some of that as a group. So there'll be a little creative exercise, but then also a lot of reflection in there, so that when you walk out, you're like, oh, I have kind of a plan. I feel inspired. And that's my hope. This is the first time I've taught this, and I'm still learning a lot about how to do this, but the last couple years I've been doing it, and I feel like it's really helped me get a handle on, oh, these are my weak areas that I need to grow, and like seeing those better, so that I can work on them starting in January.
And is this for any creative outlet?
Absolutely.
It's called, I think the class is called just for folks who might be interested in signing up, because I believe you can still sign up today.
Correct? Yeah.
Okay. It's called Art Resolutions for the New Year. Is this for any kind of creative outlet in any way?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Not just visual art.
Not just visual art. If you can bring your ideas about your practice into it, it'll be more valuable and
more fulfilling.
I just wanted to leave it very open and workable for people in any creative endeavor.
Yeah.
To see around some of our own corners. And the idea partly came out of participating in some of Oren's wonderful rainforest workshops, because his style of working with writers is so positive and just really helps you think about, how can I grow these habits? And so I kept thinking, well, how could I do this for like visual artists and and other, you know, beyond just writing? And so I tried to think of ways that I can incorporate it to make it more broad for people in any creative endeavor.
Yeah. Okay. And then you also have, we have a list of PSAs here. of classes that Kari sent us earlier this week.
It's
classes for the new year. And there's a few others that you're teaching. You're teaching knitting for kids and teens and a basic adult knitting class as well. I recently tried to teach someone to knit and it was an absolute failure. And I'm curious, like what goes into teaching people something like knitting or Deborah weaving, where it's a really technical and tactile thing. I don't understand how you even start to teach that.
Well, you know, we actually did a series in November, and so they had so much fun that my whole class said, pretty much the whole class said, when are you going to do it again? Like, we want to keep going. So in that class, and it's the same thing that's coming up, which is a beginner and beyond, and I really feel like if you have a few people who already have some knowledge and just need to review and are struggling to do that on their own, then that really helps
having some
basic beginners, because a whole class of basic beginners who've never, ever tried before can be pretty tough.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. I was thinking about the knitting for kids and teens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We were going to have fun. I mean, a big part of the first experience is exposure, right? Mm. So, when you learn, so from my education background, I know that as we're planning, we need to think about, you know, providing visual samples, talking, and also just letting people get their hands into the material so that they can kinesthetically try to build some awareness about what they're doing. And so really it's that trial and error, just letting them try and fail and try and fail and try and succeed with someone there, just keeping a good humor about it and say, look, you made a mistake. Actually, that's an intermediate mistake. That's a real skill that you just did right there. But we're not there yet. So here's the basic.
Right.
So, it's just that supportive environment, like anything.
Yeah. And you recently taught an art class for kids. My daughter participated. I think you said there were 29 students.
Well, how many did we have? We did 2 different days.
We did 2 days. And the first day we had 29 kids signed up. And the second day we had 24 kids.
And the first day the power went out about 10 minutes into the class.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was just very impressed that you were willing to take on that many art students all at once and just roll with it.
Well, not only that, but it's the class is an hour and a half, which is the absolute limit of the length of a class I'll do with kids in elementary school. But Lisa has just, she's fabulous at engaging the kids, and the kids aren't cranky about sitting. They're happy to sit and do it. I mean, we had on the second class, we had one little guy that didn't want to leave. You know, 2 hours we were kind of shooing him out the door.
Sweeping around him. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can do a class for parents on how to engage children in craft.
That would be fun.
Activities.
Yeah, because that kid was only five.
Yeah,
a kindergartner. Yeah.
Kari, I'm curious because I know that a lot of these classes are extremely affordable or even free. And but also that the teachers often get paid quite fairly. And I'm curious how the public library and you make that happen.
Well, I have a fabulous boss and she's really good at planning. And
you're talking about
Tara Alcock. Yeah. This year we actually planned for the whole year because Tara wrote a grant for, and that's how we get the funding for, especially I think, well, there's a few ways we get the funding through grants. There's also the John McCabe, Art Education Endowment, that we can draw from.
And that's money that John McCabe specifically put aside in order for these classes.
Yes. John McCabe was a local math teacher, high school math teacher for years and years in Petersburg.
Elementary.
Oh, elementary. Okay. And when he was retired, he started doing, he was really into abstract art.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I had asked him, because when we were down at the old library, I had people come in, artists come in, and I had asked them to volunteer their time because at that time we didn't have any money to pay them. Mm-hmm. And we spent the money on supplies, and the artists would volunteer their time. And out of that, John used to volunteer for me all the time, and he had so much fun doing it. And out of that grew a donation, just a principal donation that he made, and then it's just grown over the years. And so there's that, and then there's also just the general endowment for the library, which is a separate money to draw on. But then this year the Alaska Community Foundation put out this grant that was so fun. It was because of the pandemic, it's called the Healthy Communities Grant, and it was all about play, and it is all about having people in your community reconnect, offering them classes and opportunities that will engage them creatively and in fun. Mm-hmm. And to kind of bring everybody's stress level down after the pandemic. And so that's where that came from. So we were able to put together, I was running around quickly talking to all kinds of artists like, hey, you want to do this next September? You know,
we talked at the library at one point and she says, well, just send me your ideas and we'll just see what we can do. And so I sent her a list of like a bunch of hypothetical ideas. Yeah. And she said, let's do them all. Sounds great. Oh, okay, maybe.
Which is why Lisa's all over the calendar.
I know, all over the calendar lately.
Well, so
mostly
in that,
just January.
That leads me to another question is that if folks are interested in teaching classes, I'm curious, first of all, how you come up with these ideas for classes, and if folks are interested in teaching, can they reach out to you?
Oh, yes, please. If you're interested in teaching something, I'm the person to talk to, definitely. And, I mostly, if I know, like, there's people in the community that I know are great teachers, I'll approach them, and I generally ask people what they want to teach. Sometimes I have a project in mind.
Yeah.
But I generally find that people, you know, and we do that with all of our volunteers, really, you know, it's like, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah. That enthusiasm will create really interesting content. And
we usually talk about the age group is what, you know, and then think about what you've been doing. You know, you talk about what you've been doing recently, and then we said, well, we should offer something in this genre for this age group, and then that helps us refine. At least that's what we've been doing.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Lisa had come up with all these ideas for classes, and these will be in, that'll be this spring too, maybe April. But they're all process classes. It's not end product classes, which is, we do a lot of end product classes, but Lisa had all these ideas for process classes. Just about learning these processes and really just playing for adults, which is something that we don't often offer ourselves, which is, but it's so beneficial.
I don't, Deborah, when you teach, do you notice that some, at some point, most of the students start to stall out, to like have a little bit of a trouble almost, like they have an obstacle they have to get over?
Because I've been noticing that. That is an interesting question, but I think one of the, and maybe we have the same kind of teaching style, just listening to you talk about what you're doing, is that teaching art is so inspiring because there's no right way of doing it. It's a creative outlet. So one of the first things I explain to students when I'm starting a class is whatever you end up with is not going to look like what my sample is or your neighbor's. It's all going, I'm going to give you the same materials, but every one of you is going to produce something completely different, and that's okay. Be creative. And so that's the fun part, is seeing folks really relax, and for 2, 3, 4 hours, however long the class is, they have the problems and stress of life just melts away once they get over the stress of learning something new.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to just start off slow and then go around the room. And I can't imagine doing 29 people in one class, but I do limit it just so that I can give attention. I think it would be interesting to do larger classes with maybe an assistant or somebody, because it's important to be able to go around the room and encourage folks to find that creativity.
Well, and
I was just gonna say with a class that large with the kids, it's almost like as adults, our ability to trust our intuition starts to, some struggles with that. So I would never have a large class with adults where I was trying to teach them, because adults have all this baggage that we have to navigate. And the kids, I basically say, okay, let's start. Let's warm up. Here's the materials. Pick what you want. And they just go nuts. And you just cycle and try to help them, and then help them with a few ideas of just holding the work back so that they can make, I'm not done. Give that back to me. I need to add something.
So with adults, it's almost like you have to find a way to circumnavigate the edit button that they've gotten.
That's a good way.
That they've learned to, to judge themselves before they even start.
Right. Because art's not perfect. It really is a creative outlet. And if you can end up with something at the end, that's great. But it really is an outlet. It's a way of being able to just relax a little bit. And if you're weaving or drawing or painting or whatever, or knitting, and you're stressed, your tension is going to be too tight, or your pencil is going to rip through the paper, or all of that. So the goal is to really figure out how to relax and turn off that edit button.
Yeah. How do you encourage adults to do that?
I tell them, whoa, like, let's breathe here. Like, because I can remember when you're saying that, I had someone in knitting class that actually said out loud, this is supposed to be relaxing. Just keep breathing. Like, it's day one. Day one, remember? And so when you find yourself starting to like tense up, stop, put it down, go get a cup of tea. That's why we have it here. Yep. Take some breaths. Yeah. You know, that's part of getting into the creative mode.
Right. And I have mandatory stand up and stretch, walk around the room breaks.
Yeah.
Every hour you have to stand up.
Yeah.
But I don't, but I'm in the middle. Stand up. Everybody stand up. So it's, that's important.
Uh-huh. And I think of, oh, the ladies making regalia and the concept of that every stitch needs to be done with love. I used to knit and I would call it my angry knitting because it's when you're knitting, you, for me, I can't think of anything else. I can only do that. So I used to knit when I would get really mad because it would help me calm down because I could let go whatever was cycling around my head. And I made some beautiful works that way, but I have totally changed that concept in, you know, listening to Deborah and Jeanette about, you know, every stitch must, you know, needs to be done with love. And so when I get stressed now doing knitting and things like that, and like, cause I took Deborah's, weaving class as well. And it's when you start to get frustrated, I mean, because it's really easy because it's like Deborah says, it's a tug, not a pull. Like to break a piece of bark off because you're pulling on it so hard is kind of significant.
Right. Yeah.
So it's also having respect for the materials that you're using. Yeah. Whether it's yarn that you've bought at Joann's or it's bark that you've harvested out in the woods and processed for 2 years, which is how long it takes to... a year to 2 years before you can actually work with the bark. And that tree has provided you with that, or nature has provided you with the materials that you're using. So you want to be respectful of that as well as the process that you're learning and those around you. You don't want to be so... for me, artwork is really, whether it's weaving or regalia or making or knitting... or sometimes writing is a social activity. So it gives us an opportunity to gather. And it's one thing, you know, I thought I had lost it when we started closing down 3 years ago for COVID. But I'll tell you, I'm doing more art in a group now than I ever did before the pandemic because of Zoom.
It just feels really essential, don't you think?
Right.
That, like... I think that highlighted for me, well, it highlighted two things in that time. One was, oh, I need to be doing more of this in my day-to-day. And so I started seeking opportunities for getting together with people because if I'm teaching, I also get to participate, which is guaranteeing I get to go. But also just recognizing that that it's so helpful for coping with life and just getting into that creative mode and like letting everything, the stress fall away from your shoulders so you can engage properly with material is...
And not everybody's really willing to do Zoom classes. And Lisa one of the few people willing to teach Zoom classes during the pandemic. Lisa taught watercolor.
Watercolor, yeah.
And you taught two knitting classes.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were fabulous. And I have to say, with Deborah talking about the materials, Deborah still donates a lot of her time, even because you processed all that. She processed all that bark herself. And one thing that was really interesting to me about Deborah's class is almost every student in that class really wanted to learn how to process the bark. I mean, it is a time endeavor. I mean, like she said, it takes 2 years to be able to use the bark that you...
Why do you think the students were so interested in learning the process from beginning to end, Deborah?
Well, I'm not sure, except that I think having a connection to a real deep rooted connection to what you're producing is important, and having that maybe living in a place where the materials are actually available, wanting to know how to use it, and so many of us don't have that opportunity to do that, which we do here,
that makes sense.
And I'll tell you, the joy for me was at the end of the first day, after it was 4 hours, I think.
Yeah.
And everybody got at least halfway through. One person, I think, finished. All 10 finished because we had a makeup class or another freebie class, just so that folks could come in and finish. And but I was really happy because I was able to stand at the front of the room and said, there's 10 more weavers in Petersburg. And I fully had expected some more experienced weavers to come, but they were, except for maybe one exception, they were all brand new, had never woven before.
Interesting.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I love Deborah's comment too. Like at the, I remember at the very end of class, a student had a question and Deborah was helping somebody else. And so they asked another student and the other student showed them how to do it. And Deborah's like, there it is.
Yeah. That made you feel like it was, it was a success.
Yep. And that's how I learned how to, I mean, I did take classes and I've got lots of teachers behind me. And, but I learn the best and the more concretely when I'm teaching.
Oh, interesting.
So the teaching is teaching what I know to other people help to cement what I do know. And help, and the questions that come in, you know, help broaden my knowledge.
Sometimes they're things you've never even considered.
That's right. And that's the socialization of of this art.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I feel like we could talk for quite a bit longer about all of this, but I know that some of you have places to be, so we're going to wrap it up. Is there anything else you want to add quickly before we transition to Rising Tide with Cindy Lagadakis?
Oh, I just
check the library website for classes and comment. I'm going to check my calendar tonight to see if I can go to Lisa's class tonight.
And I have information here for Lisa's class, Art Resolutions for the New Year, tonight from 5 to 7:45 p.m. And there are still spaces available.
There are still spaces available. It's a limited. It's a very small group.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the website to sign up, you can either call the library.
Yeah,
I'm testing you here. What's the library number?
You can call the library, 772-3349, or you can register online.
Okay.
And yeah, just take a look at the calendar. I think there's so much happening. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
But like Oren will be having writing classes. It's not on the calendar yet. We're still waiting. And I think Oren is actually planning not just the regular writing classes, but a manuscript writing class for the spring. And Kathy Russo is coming to town from Ketchikan to teach some basket weaving. And then we have other local artists that we're going to get lined up as well.
Okay, and you said it's planned through the whole year, so there's going to be all sorts of interesting
September
stuff.
Okay, wonderful. From October to September.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.